Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This is our sermon text this morning, Luke 6:36. In this verse and the entire pericope that follows, the lesson that follows, our dear Lord Jesus Christ teaches his disciples and all of us how we are to live as Christians in our relationships with other people, in society. For if we have received faith and are considered to be Christians who've been saved from sin, death, and every kind of misfortune through our Lord Jesus Christ, then a new life must immediately follow, one in which we do what the Lord desires. And what is that? Well, our Lord summarizes it in this verse. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Our Lord desires mercy for us to be merciful. How was our Father merciful? He sent his Son to us to dwell with us, right? The incarnation, to live among us and to live for us, to save us from our old Adam, our sinful self, our impending doom, death, and eternal separation from our Father, from God. When you look at the cross, our cross, when you see Jesus hanging there, you're seeing a picture of the mercy of our Father. That's how you were saved. From your criminal behavior against God and your neighbor. The incarnation of the Son is the mercy of the Father. Our chancel cross symbolizes the mercy we've received. But there are greater things that actually, really share the mercy of the cross with us, that distribute it to each and every one of us as loved individuals, individually worth saving you. These are things that are beyond symbols. They are beyond representation of the Father's mercy. They are actually how he gives us his mercy. You know, your baptism is one of them. When you were baptized, you received the mercy of your Father. As the water rolled off your brow, your sins were washed away. You were made into a new person, a forgiven person, a Christ-shaped person filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with faith. Faith that assures you of the saving grace given in Christ crucified for you. Mercy. The preaching of God's word is another way that you actually receive your Father's mercy. In preaching, we are certain that God hasn't abandoned us. This act right now is a certainty. It is a seal of a promise that God is with us. The word is preached where his people are. After Christ's earthly work was done, he ascended bodily to our Father. And we might be tempted to think we're alone in this world, but we weren't left alone. The Holy Spirit was sent, and through the apostles and the pastors, the Holy Spirit raises up to follow in their faithful traditions. He now teaches us all that Christ taught when he dwelled with us. We receive this through the proclamation of the word. This activity right now, this is you being shown mercy as you're learning how your Father would have you live as his children, as Christians, and as you're being taught that you who are sinners are forgiven sinners, mercied sinners, that your Father is merciful. In the preaching of the gospel, you're being given the gospel. You are being gospeled. The mercy of your Father is yours. Because he's so merciful, he sent his son to die for you, so that you wouldn't ultimately die, but would be resurrected from the grave just as Christ was. Even though you've committed countless wrongs where Christ didn't. And this gets us to the final way you receive the mercy of your merciful Father. Holy Communion. There, at the rail, you literally, actually receive the very body and blood of the Son of God. The very body and blood that hung from an actual cross at Golgotha and was given and shed for you. You receive it to be strengthened in your faith, enabled to believe that your sins have been forgiven, that your Father truly is merciful to you, that he's worked out everything for your good, eternal good, with Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so that you wouldn't be burdened under the law, but would be able to live at peace under the promise of the gospel in the magnitude of the mercy of the Almighty, your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Lord's desire is for us to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. But this can be a hard learned lesson. Can't it? It's so easy, so enjoyable even, to not show mercy to our neighbors, to stand in condemnation over them, judging their sins against us without mercy in our hearts. We can even begin to wish for others to get what's coming to them. People hurt us, they cause us pain, and what do? We kind of smirk a little. We smile. He had it coming. She had it coming. But guess what? According to the law, God's law, you and I have it coming too. We're not without guilt. Do you want what's coming to you? Do you want to live in a system that operates under such bylaws that says those who cause pain receive pain, those who hurt get hurt, the wicked get what's coming? No, no, no. This is what Jesus teaches when he says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." And listen, listen to the cascading, the rolling out of how this is given, right? This language is beautiful. It's poetic. Good measure, it says. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. It's overflowing. The good measure that you will be given in Christ. And when it comes to being sinned against, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Now, does this mean that there are no earthly consequences to doing wrong? No, that's not what we're talking about. It means forgive and let the authorities deal with it. Whatever the authority may be, right? The authority of the child, when the child steps out of line, is the parent, right? It's not other children. The authority when it comes to legal codes on the street, street law, would be the highway patrolman, right? We don't drive around trying to point out other people's bad driving and, you know, running them off the road. Oh, I'm going to get you. No, we let the cops deal with it, right? We forgive and we let the authorities take place, do their job. Those who've been given the vocations to deal with sins are to be the ones who deal with sins. This is what Jesus taught as he hung from the cross. If you need an example, this is the best example you'll ever find. Because of your sins, Jesus was beaten and crucified. Your sins, all of our sins, but your sins are the reason for Christ's death. And yet, while the blood dripped from his wounds, while the life was fading from his body, he did not speak the law. He did not judge and condemn. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He wasn't speaking to just those wagging their fingers at him at the cross. He wasn't speaking to just the Sanhedrin who had plotted against him. He wasn't speaking to just the Roman soldiers who pierced him, and or to Pilate, or to any. He was speaking to about us. About you. Your sins killed Christ. And he spoke mercy. Gospel. He did not say they'll get what's coming to them. I'll get the last laugh. No. He spoke forgiveness. For you. For me. Jesus worked for the good of his neighbors even while those neighbors were working to kill him. That is mercy. Friends, fellow believers, let's strive to be merciful to our neighbor, to the sinners around us, to those who sin against us. Let's strive to see them as God sees them, as sinners. And as such, as people who are in need of mercy, sinners for whom Christ died. And when we fail, and we are bound to fail, let us be quick to repent, trusting in the mercy of our Father shown through his Son's life and death on the cross and taught to us by the Holy Spirit. We live in a world of mercy. Christian world, even amidst a world of law out there, we have the gospel. We have been forgiven. Christ died for you because your Father is merciful. This is true, and so we say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.